Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for Cruton the Cougars. An inside look at the latest news on the recruiting trail surrounding Cougar athletics.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Crittle, broadcasting live from our Wasatch Medical Clinic, WasatchMedicalClinic.com studio. Stop living with ED, live without it today at Wasatch Medical Clinic, WasatchMedicalClinic.com. It is time for a Cruton the Cougars segment, one of my favorite segments. Going to welcome in a recruiting expert, and it's going to be brought to you by Big O Tires and American Fork. Go to Big O Tires and American Fork, 748 East State Street, 748 East State Street, American Fork, Utah. Talk to my guy, Ryan Eldridge. That's right, he's a big BYU fan. He wants to get you in some new tires, yes, but I know it just says Big O Tires, but he is a full-service mechanic location, and he will take care of your vehicle front end to back end. 801-692-3757, 801-692-3757. Go and mention ESPN 960, mention Ben Crittle, mention you're a BYU fan, and you want to talk to Ryan Eldridge, he will get you taken care of, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. All right, so let's get out to the hotline and welcome in of the 24/7 Sports Network, the recruiting guru, my man Brandon Huffman. What's up, B Huff?
Oh, you know what? We are already into 2024 there, Ben. I mean, it is never a quiet moment. We had signing day last Wednesday, and I was already on the road over the weekend watching 24s, 25s, 26s, and even some 27s.
You know, you live, eat, breathe, sleep, drink, all the things, recruiting. Have you ever thought, what if, like, Alabama came to me and said, we want to have you as our player personnel coordinator? Would you ever ponder on that? I know there's been a few recruiting guys that have been taken up into the inner staffs of some of these collegiate teams because of their recruiting acumen. Have you ever been contacted? Have you ever been tempted?
Yeah, I've actually had a couple of Pac-12 schools offer me a job. I've had a couple of other schools reach out. The problem is I'm not young anymore. I'm getting up there in age, and, you know, it's a young man's game. I'm not the guy that, you know, wants to be in the office for 18 hours a day when I can sit in my home office for 12 hours a day
yep.
working, you know, give myself an extra 6 hours to maybe, I don't know, go watch my kids play sports. And
yep.
I think, you know, it would have been something maybe 10, 15 years ago would have been cool to do, but now, if anybody's listening, I'm only willing to accept assistant athletic director roles, so my DMs are open if anybody wants to offer me one.
Oh, man. Signing day, it was not
athletic as... Athletic director Brandon Huffman has a really nice ring to it.
I believe in you. I believe you'd be a fantastic athletic director. I think you'd be a fantastic recruiting coordinator, player personnel director, all those things. You're great at what you do now, so it translates. But B, this second signing day, not as hectic, not as crazy as the first, obviously, the early signing period. But what were some of the surprises of signing day in February?
I think, you know, honestly, the biggest surprise was just how anticlimactic it was. I mean, if you look at last Wednesday, only five of the top 247 players in the country were uncommitted or unsigned. And one of those is Jaden Rashada, who, you know, kind of had a roller coaster recruitment of his own. So it was a pretty quiet day in terms of what you're tracking. And I think that's the way recruiting has been trending, where December is the big month everybody signs. But it almost feels now like, you know, June is kind of the big month for guys to make commitments. July as well, because guys are taking business in the spring. You're also seeing January when, you know, signing day is just around the corner. January is mostly when these college coaches, they're not doing in-home business. They're now on the road trying to see all the 24s, 25s, 26s they can. So really the surprise, probably, if anything, was, you know, Oregon getting Roger Pleasant away from USC, Nicholas Harbor committing to South Carolina. But that's it. It was a pretty unremarkable day in, you know, compared to, obviously, previous February's past.
Yeah. Jaden Rashada, let's talk about him for a moment. He took an official visit to BYU with his brothers, and I think, what was it, Roman, and I forget his other brother's name that was at the JUCO ranks. But
yeah,
they
Roman
were there.
Harlan.
Yeah, Harlan. Good football players. They were fantastic young men. I chatted with them multiple times. Loved those kids. Their recruitment was very unique, right? I think Roman ended up at Ole Miss. I don't know where he's at now. Jaden was everywhere. And this is very different. Kind of give me your perspective on the Rashada saga and how it ended up, you know, at ASU. Just give me your perspective on that journey.
Well, I mean, obviously it was an absolute circuit, a roller coaster, if you will. I mean, there was, you know, there's a good article in The Athletic today that just kind of trails the whole thing from beginning to end. But, you know, it's kind of a microcosm of where recruiting is at right now, where NIL is becoming so just gigantically involved in the process for elite players, for top end players. And, you know, unfortunately, like it has been in the 20 plus years of recruiting I've covered, a lot of times the kids, the collateral damage, it's the adults that are involved that sometimes make it a bigger deal. And the kid just wants to play ball, just wants to play football. And I think Arizona State at the end of the day, you know, interestingly enough, he told me one time, gosh, 2 years ago, he nearly committed to Arizona State in the spring of 2021. At that point, he was just coming off the sophomore spring when they had a COVID season in Northern California. And he'd always dreamed to play at Arizona State. His dad was on their last Rose Bowl team. He grew up watching Arizona State games. He had a really good relationship with Zach Hill, who was the offensive coordinator at the time. And then everything changed that June when the NCAA investigated Arizona State for COVID recruiting violations, and half the staff was jettisoned. Herm Edwards was later fired, and at that point, it looked like Arizona State was never going to end up in the future of Jaden Rashada. But Kenny Dillingham had recruited him pretty diligently at Oregon, actually had Oregon in his top schools before they got Dante Moore, and then Dillingham just kind of ended up pulling out a rabbit out of his hat, and, you know, being the dream school and the childhood favorite and the alma mater of his dad, worked out that Arizona State and Kenny Dillingham got a signature recruit. And I think it's a great place because there's not going to be the spotlight on Jaden at Arizona State like there would have been had he been a $13 million man at Florida. He can just go back and play football again. I think, you know, Jaden playing with a chip on his shoulder is the best Jaden to watch. And I'm excited to see how he meshes with Kenny Dillingham. After seeing what Kenny Dillingham did with Bo Nix, Jaden's a very similar player with similar athleticism. I think it's going to be a perfect pairing.
Brandon Huffman, 24/7 Sports here on ESPN 960. Let's shift over to BYU signing day, signing class. It's always a hodgepodge, right? It's kind of difficult to keep track of the return missionaries, you know, the signees, the guys that are going on missions, the guys that will actually play. But wanted to get your overall thoughts on the recruiting class, what stood out to you, what you liked, and if there's still some gaps to fill with that window of transfer portal opportunity in May.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most fascinating parts about the recruiting or the transfer portal window reopening is that, you know, classes are done for the most part, but they're not done because there's going to be a lot of guys that maybe find that there's a traffic jam at their position during spring ball, and schools can be a little bit more deliberate, a little more cherry picking in terms of, you know, instead of saying, hey, we need to fill 15 bodies, let's just take two or three bodies after the spring, but it might be really good stuff. Now, if you look at what's already kind of bird in hand, I love the Jake Gretzlaff signing out of Riverside College. Yeah. I think that's a great pickup just in terms of, you know, giving another arm, another body in contention for the starting job. I think what he did at Riverside this last year should be exciting for BYU fans. You already know the productivity that Keaton Slovis has had in his previous stop. So anytime he can add competition for a competition, it's good. I like how they didn't hesitate. And you know, BYU's never been one to shy away from recruiting JUCO. They aren't going to be like Kansas State was under, you know, I can't remember the guy's name, who took over for Ron Pritz, I think it was, took over for Bill Snyder, where he went like 95% JUCO one year. BYU's only going to recruit a couple of JUCO guys each season, but they're going to be guys that they're bringing in with the expectation that they're going to play, whether it's a David Lotu, whether it's you know, Rex Lapp, whether it's Jaden Dunlap. But I like what they did in the high school race. I love the tight end group that they've got. Simone Davis, I saw him actually during that COVID summer back in 2020 at a camp in Reno. And at that point, he had just moved to Texas from Hawaii, with it looking like Hawaii wasn't going to be playing football that fall. And then I'm a big Jackson Bowers guy. I've seen Jackson Bowers at a number of camps, 7-on-7 tournaments, saw him at the Polynesian Bowl. I think that kid is just a special pass catcher. You know, you look at him, he's a when you see guys at 7-on-7 tournaments and you see guys at Polynesian Bowl, they're, you know, at 7-on-7 tournaments especially, you get guys that, you know, they're all about the limelight, they're all about the, you know, the show that it is. And Jackson Bowers is the kind of guy that between plays, while his teammates celebrating, he's coming to the sideline and, you know, trying to figure out what he needs to do on the next year. He's just a very serious ball player. So when you see the tight end position being really centralized, focused like it's been, and then you throw in a guy like a Matthew Frederick, who I got to see at the ESPN camp back in June. I love that, just that trio of tight ends that BYU's got coming in, really, especially of any positional group.
Brandon, is it crazy to think that Jackson Bowers can find some playing time in a pretty loaded tight end room as soon as next year for BYU?
No, I don't think it's crazy at all. I think, you know, he's been a guy that I've been seeing sophomore year, you know, being a guy that already had kind of a college-ready body. There's not a – if anything, you know, maybe he gets a little faster, but you look at him physically, this is a kid that I think is going to be able to transition to playing Big 12 football this September. He's already well put together. He's already got, you know, a little bit of an edge to his game. Playing in the Polynesian Bowl, you know, he was the starting tight end the first day, and then Deuce Robinson, the number one tight end in the country, came in a day late after being at a baseball workout, and that just made Jackson play even better that week. Almost like, hey, you know what, he's not the number one tight end. He might be on this team, or he might be in rankings, but I'm a pretty darn good player myself, and I think that's the kind of edge and the kind of the chippiness that you need a true freshman to have in order to get himself on the field that early.
You mentioned most of the recruiting work nationally was done back during the early signing period in December. But there were a couple of surprises, both nationally and also even within the BYU ranks. We've come to learn that since L.J. Martin actually committed to the Cougars back in December, kind of kept that official commitment under wraps a little bit so that he could celebrate it on the first day of the natural signing period. But when you look at this kid, a 6'1", 200-pound running back out of the El Paso area in Texas, former Stanford commit, three-star composite rating. I think ESPN has him as a four-star recruit, so he's kind of in the mix there. Is this the kind of guy that could signal maybe a change in the type of recruiting that BYU can do moving forward into the Big 12?
Oh, 100%. And, I mean, when you think El Paso, you don't necessarily think the state of Texas, even though it is in the state of Texas. It's almost like a suburb of Tucson or of Albuquerque. But I think you're going to start to see that list expand, you know, of more guys from the state of Texas, maybe more guys from the state of Oklahoma. You're going to see, obviously, they're going to be able to have an opportunity to go down into Florida with UCF and play games there. I think you're going to see an expanding footprint. And I think that's something that, you know, Kawana Satake and his staff is certainly going to welcome. You know, it's one of the advantages to being in the Big 12 and being the westernmost school in that conference. And I think that, you know, it's going to allow them to have a wider footprint. They've always been a school that's been able to attract players nationally. But I think really getting into some stronghold states like Texas is absolutely going to open doors for them. And, you know, does L.J. Martin commit there? BYU still an independent after being committed to Stanford? You know, who knows? But I certainly think that that's the kind of recruit that BYU is expecting to get more guys like, and go into a state that's a Big 12 state, and to get a guy in that marquee class, or in that initial class. And I don't think he's going to be the exception to the rule. I think you're going to see that recruiting base really dip into Texas, given all the schools that are going to be playing there. And I think it's just going to become, you know, even more attractive to kids in the state of Texas that, hey, BYU is a very good option for me, given the location of their new conference.
Yeah, I remember the sky was falling a bunch of Cougar Nation when they lost the commitments of Leopoulou Lassi, a guy that you're very well familiar with, and also Landon Chambers out of Texas. And then you look at the two running backs that they get in exchange, right, for those, and Aiden Robbins from UNLV, and and L.J. Martin. And I think you make the argument that they may have gotten the better deal there. Now, I'm not trying to pit these guys against each other, but I think there's the sky wasn't falling, and they ended up getting a pretty good deal out of all this in the running back room.
Oh, 100%. And that's why I've always said, and I mean, I'm not the first one that said it, and I probably heard it from somebody else, but recruiting is very much a marathon, not a sprint. And I think there's guys that commit early in the process that sometimes are out of sight, out of mind, and fans are more likely to bemoan the fact they lost some players down the stretch, and they would rather complain about the guys they lost than the guys that they replaced them with and the talent that those guys have. And I think the other thing is, too, if you look at some of these guys that committed early in the process to BYU, had those guys waited until the third Wednesday in December or the first Wednesday in February, they would have probably been, doing backflips off of their house, off of their ceiling to celebrate them. And so that's, it kind of goes back to the initial point we were talking about with how January, it's so much for the future class, and you want to get those early commitments, and why June and July are becoming such a big time for recruitment. And commitment, you sometimes forget about the class that you already had in place. And so you bemoan the losses of those guys, and it's harder, be excited about the players you have coming in. And then also hard to be excited about the players that you have committed for months because of kind of the new toy philosophy.
Yes, indeed. Brandon Huffman here on ESPN 960. Brandon, BYU does have some return missionaries coming back from missions. We talked about these guys. Once upon a time, they're coming back, ready to roll. Guys like John Henry Daly. I don't know what you know about Jay Griffin, Mesa, Arizona, Red Mountain kid. There's Ace Kafusi, Micah Kafusi. Kafusi's are big names. Marcus McKenzie, Pineview High School, the speedster out of St. George. Any of these return missionaries that you're the most high on? How about a Raider DeMooney?
Yeah, I mean, I was a big John Henry Daly fan. Maybe it was the name that really made me like him. But with a lot of these kids, a lot of these guys that are returning missionaries, what one of the things I think people forget was during that fall of 2020, there was only one state that really started playing football at normal time, and that was the state of Utah. So in that August, September, October stretch, we were only hearing about Utah guys mainly. And a couple other states ended up playing football that fall, but like John Henry Daly was one of those names that we were hearing about early on during that season, during that senior year. And he was a player that, I really feel, I think all of our ratings are accurate. I always think we do a good job in our rankings, but I think that 2021 class is always going to be one that's going to be a litmus test, because you didn't get to see a lot of these guys that spring or that summer or even that fall in games. So you never got to fully evaluate them and appreciate them to see how they really looked in person. And I think John Henry Daly is kind of a classic case of, he's a high three-star, he's a top 10 player in the state, but there weren't any opportunities to really get a chance to see him, so you just relied on the huddle. And I liked what I saw from him. There's so much positional versatility there. He's the guy that I think is going to be really good at BYU. Marcus McKenzie, you mentioned him. I mean, a kid that absolutely could fly. I was a big, big fan of his as well. Another kid, another top 20 player in the state. And John Henry Daly is probably the one I'm the most eager to see how he does at the next level. And, just given what he did that spring, or I'm sorry, that fall of a really weird season.
Yeah, it was a unique one, no doubt about it. Brandon Huffman here on ESPN 960. One last thing before we let you go. You mentioned Jake Retzlaff, and very high on this young man. He's going to be competing with Keaton Slovis. Looks like Keaton's the guy. Looks like he'll be QB1, but I've said it on the show. I think Jake's going to push Keaton Slovis. Want to get your thoughts on a potential quarterback competition and a quarterback controversy maybe brewing up in Provo.
Yeah, and I'm always here for quarterback controversies because I think they're really good. I always love the old adage, if you have two quarterbacks, it means you don't have one. But this is one of those cases where Ben, we've seen this in recent years with guys that have gone into the portal and then maybe they go into a portal a second time. It's almost like, the old Comcast commercials or the Xfinity commercials, peaked in high school, Rob Lowe. I'm not saying Keaton Slovis peaked, but like his freshman year of college was his best year. And then he has some injury issues at USC. He goes to Pitt, doesn't have a tremendous season. He's replacing Kenny Pickett, but he's also a guy that was a known name, whereas Jake Gritzloff is this guy who just kind of quietly is coming under the radar. Not a lot of people know about him. He played at a fantastic high school program in terms, in my opinion, the best public high school in the state of California for football, in a very private school dominated state. And he just kind of has just, you know, gotten better and better each year. Whereas with Keaton Slovis, there's been obviously some injury setbacks that definitely affect you as a quarterback. But I would not sleep on Jake Gritzloff in this competition. I mean, there's a reason that he was not just 24/7's number one JUCO quarterback. He was the composite number one. So I think everybody kind of generally agreed that this is the best quarterback coming in. And in an era where the portal seems to be king and where a lot of schools recruit from, there's still some darn good JUCO players that are going on to college. I mean, granted, he was a walk-on and then had to go to a JUCO, but the guy who won the last two national championships, the quarterback, was once upon a time a JUCO quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I think there's some value in getting those JUCO guys because there's an edge to them. There's a chip on their shoulder that's permanently indented, and I wouldn't sleep on him when he's in that competition room against Keaton Slovis.
Do you have a player comp for Jake? Anyone that comes to mind, those that haven't been able to watch Jake, even like watching sometimes the highlight videos, you don't really get a true perception of who they are. So any player comps that come to mind?
I'm trying to think of a good comp. You know, he's a pretty well put together kid. Like, I wouldn't call him a skinny guy at all. Gosh, I wouldn't even be doing him justice. I was going to say, you know, he kind of reminds me a little bit of a Jake Locker, but I think, you know, and Jake Locker was a top 10 pick who I think is drafted based on upside, but he had a big arm. The problem with Jake Locker a lot of times is you never know who the ball was going to, but just kind of that big physical, you know, he's got a big arm, maybe not the athlete, but a lot of, you know, similarities to the arm strength there. But I think he's also a very high football IQ quarterback, and the Riverside program is a very successful program. They've had a number of quarterbacks that have gone on and played at the next level. You know, they've got coaches that have coached at the Power 5 level, or I'm sorry, at the FBS level, and guys that have been, you know, have really good offensive schemes. So I think he's a guy that's going to be able to come in and really understand the offense. But, you know, you see a little bit of Locker to him with kind of the fastballs that he can throw. But unlike Locker, maybe he can't run as well, but he can take a little bit off for far more accuracy.
Love the breakdown. Brandon Huffman, ladies and gentlemen. Final thing, how do you think BYU fared in their recruiting class? How does it compare to maybe other Kalani Sitake recruiting classes since his era began?
Yeah, I like this one. You know, it just missed being a top 50 class nationally, and I think part of that is because of returning missionaries. I think part of that's because they've got a number of guys coming in from the portal. So they didn't have as big of a class as a lot of other schools, but I really like what they did. It seems like they really made an emphasis on defensive linemen, on immediate help on the defensive line with some of the JUCOs they got. I mean, heck, I was looking at the walk-on list that you sent me, and I mean, you're able to get some of these guys that had multiple offers coming in as walk-ons. I think that's, you know, a nice little bonus to add when you've got only 18 guys that you signed. But I like, you know, they got quarterbacks, they got a running back, they got receivers, they got pretty much every position that they were able to pull some guys in. And I like some of the guys that maybe aren't getting as much attention, like a Miles Hall, like a Matthew Frederick, a couple of the guys that I was able to see back in June when I was out in Salt Lake City, guys that maybe don't necessarily get the attention of some of the other in-state guys that were much more heavily recruited, but guys that end up being kind of cornerstone recruits for you when they come in. And I think those two guys, plus, you know, just look at the walk-on list, you know, a guy like Big John Tumapau. I watched him, and I mean, the kid was overshadowed for his entire high school career because he lined up next to the number one player in the country, who's now a star at Ohio State, and JT Tuimoloau. You know, John T just academically had some work to do, but I mean, he was just as dominant in college, and Naz Danielson. So what I love what BYU did is they didn't just sign really good players. They got some really freaking good walk-ons to kind of compliment them.
Yeah, I like that PWO list as well. I appreciate you giving them some love to them walk-ons, as I was once a walk-on myself, Brandon. So there's some gems, there's some diamonds in the walk-on list. So,
absolutely.
Brandon, Brandon, how can we support you, man? What can we do to help support you? And if there's Cougar fans listening that want to support you, how can they do it?
Yeah, go on Twitter, at Brandon Huffman. You can follow me there. You can find out all the latest news that's coming out. Just put out a new article a little bit ago about Gatlin Bear, the number one player in Idaho,
yeah.
Top 247 guy. You can see all kinds of new stuff. We turned over a new leaf. The database is now going right to 2024, so go to 247 Sports. Go, to at Brandon Huffman on Twitter. Go to Cougar Sports Insider. Get all your latest BYU news. And, folks, it's spring. There's events going on every single weekend. Get ready for the next batch to go with the, five or six commits that BYU already has for 2024 to get ready to watch that list expand.
Man, you mentioned Gatlin Bear. I can't let you go without asking a question. Is BYU still in the mix, you think? I chatted with him a bit ago, and it seemed like BYU was still in the mix. What are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, absolutely they're in the mix. He's even said, too, that he's made the decision that he's planning a service mission. He's going to leave right after December. He's going to graduate early, leave in January, so he can be back in the fall of 2026. And I think that obviously always is a factor for BYU to have a chance at players that are being recruited nationally. And I think BYU very much is going to be a factor there. He was visiting them back in January when he was down for track meet. I think they will probably get an official visit from him in the spring or the summer. He wants to have a decision made by the fall. But I think BYU is very much going to be a factor. And I think that's one that Kalani himself is really taking on as kind of his personal target. A lot of guys talk about the position coaches and not many guys talk as much about the head coach, but he's definitely the focus of Kalani.
Love it. Brandon, we salute you. We appreciate you, man. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Always a pleasure. Brandon Huffman, that was a great recruiting segment there. We'll call that a segment. Sean Walker by my side. We got Gavin Lee on the social. Ronald Weaver behind the glass. Any thoughts? Any commentary to finish up the segment?
Always good stuff from Brandon Huffman there. Really, really good stuff from him. We'll get that on the podcast feed as soon as possible.
I remember
there's a lot of stuff that a lot of BYU fans are going to like.
This is my final thought. I remember when Sky was falling a bit when BYU missed on or passed on two running backs in this recruiting class. One from the Northwest, Leopoldo Lassie, and Landon Chambers,
from Texas. Yeah,
Fossil Ridge. BYU ends up with four-star Aiden Robbins and four-star L.J. Martin instead. And if you want to add it to the conversation, say, well, they were going to get Aiden anyway. Okay, I get that. They actually, you could make the argument that they added Nukuluvi-Hilu to the roster instead of maybe a Landon Chambers. So we'll see how how he pans out, but he looks really good right now. From a body type standpoint, he's in fantastic shape. He's a baller.
For sure.
But still, if you just compare side-by-side these running backs, I think BYU got the better end of the deal, and I think they leveled up, in fact. We're going to go to break. What's cooking with the Cougars? Coming up next, this is Cougar Sports, ESPN 960.